I'm David Martin Davies, and coming up on The Source, ethics complaints have been filed by Cops Metro against four city council members. They're accused of using their positions to promote voting in favor of Proposition B in the county election that would help pay for a new Spurs arena. We're joined by San Antonio Mayor Gina Ortiz-Jones to get her reaction. And later on The Source, the loss of federal funds at Meals on Wheels, the anti-hunger program for homebound seniors, is facing cuts, reducing the number of deliveries of hot meals, wellness checks, and essential social contacts. Bill Miller and HEB are providing rescue cash donations, but what is the long-term outlook for the nonprofit that serves over 4,000 seniors in Bexar County? This is a community conversation. We want to hear from you. Call in at 833-877-8255. That's what's coming up on The Source, but first, this news.
Support for The Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at uthealthsa.org.
Tired of spending so much time and money on vehicle maintenance and repairs? Make this October Cartover when you donate a car, truck, or RV to TPR. Visit tpr.careasy.org or call 877-486-1227 to get started.
Live from the John L. Santico Studio in downtown San Antonio, this is The Source. From Texas Public Radio, I'm David Martin Davies. Ethics complaints against four city council members related to Prop B, the fight to save rainbow crosswalks, a growing hunger crisis. We're joined by San Antonio Mayor Gina Ortiz-Jones to get reaction to these developing stories and more. She's here to take your calls and questions, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. And Mayor Jones, welcome back to The Source.
Hey there, good to be with you.
So let's talk about these ethics complaints. Cops Metro Alliance, which is a citizens activist group, they are opposed to Proposition B. They have filed complaints against four city council members saying that they have taken an improper stance of promoting in favor of Proposition B. You've had your own, you had an ethics complaint, which was clearly a political stunt.
Clearly.
No basis. It was weaponizing the ethics committee. So how do you see what this complaint? What's your reaction to that?
Well, look, I think it's important that the process play itself out just like mine did. And certainly the Ethics Review Board, this will go through that as the deputy city attorney has explained. So I'm not going to speak any further on that. But there's a process in place to handle it, and I'm sure they will.
Do you think that people are going to be using this, the ethics complaint playbook now, trying to just target people they don't like for political positions and to get ink in the paper and then when it's found to be meritless, still they accomplished their goal. Is that
a
problem?
Yeah, it is actually. And you heard the Ethics Review Board chair speak exactly to this point. He's like, you know, this is not a gotcha board. And you're right. And so, you know, needlessly dragging people's name through the mud, it's unfounded. Not only though, I mean, it's not free to get an attorney, right? So there's also the financial aspect of this. So yeah, I am concerned that some see this as an opportunity to weaponize that process. And that's why it's really important that those that are reviewing the merits of those and say whether, you know, this is meritless or not, do so judiciously and with that in mind, because we want people to have full confidence in that process and that folks aren't needlessly being drugged through the mud.
So the ethics complaint aside, these council members, all the council members have had informational meetings about Project Marvel and these two propositions, A and B. They've spoken out and they've delivered the facts. The issue that Cops Metro brought up, saying that there was not equal time or an opportunity to provide anti-Prop B information, even though the presentation wasn't necessarily 100% pro-Prop B, I guess that's all part of going to come out of the investigation. Do you think there was anything to be concerned about? Were you concerned about how these town hall meetings were put together? You went to many of them.
So those that were hosted by the council members themselves, I did not attend those. And those council members had the discretion to invite who they chose to. And I know some tried to get kind of both sides of this discussion to really lay it flat for their folks. And I know others had a different selection process. So again, the Ethics Review Board is going to look at all of this and make a determination. I have full confidence in their ability to do so.
All right. So the rainbow crosswalks, beautiful crosswalks that we have here in San Antonio, Governor Abbott doesn't like them, wants them paved over. They paved over the ones they have in Houston. They have crosswalks in Corpus Christi they're having to pave over. They're not even rainbow. They're just like waves. They're just decorative crosswalks. So the city of San Antonio is pushing back on Governor Greg Abbott. And his claiming that they are somehow a safety hazard, saying actually they look at the data, actually the reduction in traffic accidents at where these crosswalks are. And so now the city is pushing back and saying, we'd like to have an exemption, we'd like to keep them. But earlier you said maybe this is not our fight. So where are you now on that?
I mean, look, I think it's unfortunate that that any leader would spend time, attacking these displays of pride. It's just a really silly thing. Again, I'll be honest with you. What is top of mind for me are those families that are right now faced with understanding that their food assistance, that assistance may not come the 1st of November. And, oh, by the way, their insurance premiums, if those ACA tax credits expire, most folks will see about an average 20-30% increase in their healthcare premiums. So there are real things going on in our country that are really making it hard for just the average person to get by. And that's why when I say, we've got bigger fish to fry, I mean it. Of course, look, you don't think the gay mayor has thoughts on these crosswalks? When I think, though, about how do we best move the ball forward, how do we best ensure folks in our community are well served, are seen, of course, but are well served and protected, I think we should not kid ourselves about the very real retribution that could come to our community. Oh, by the way, many of whom are already the most vulnerable in our community. And so I'm a realist about these things. I think we need to be pragmatic. I think we need to pick our battles. I think we need to focus on making sure that the most vulnerable in our community are protected and served. And that's what I will continue to do as mayor.
Could be rainbow other things rather than crosswalks.
Absolutely.
Rainbow sidewalks.
Absolutely. Thank you for mentioning that. I think, look, again, as I've shared, my pride is not tied to a crosswalk. My pride, I served under Don't Ask, Don't Tell, right? I was the first out lesbian to serve as the undersecretary of any military department. So my pride, and I hope everyone else's pride, is tied to their understandings, which are irrefutable, their understandings of of the many, many ways in which LGBTQ people have served, are serving, and will continue to serve our city, our state, and our country. I would encourage anybody that wants to support the LGBTQ community at this point, go to the LGBTQ Chamber website, go identify an LGBTQ-owned company or an allied company, and go frequent them. Go give them your business, right? I know a lot of, unfortunately, small businesses are really having a tough time now. So really, show up for the community, not, the crosswalk, again, will solve itself out. Again, I'm not optimistic about the exemption letter. I think there are ways in which we can still show up for our community, and I encourage folks to do that.
Well, what could Abbott do? You said that he could really be punitive here.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think they've already talked about the ways in which they could withhold some of the TxDOT funding. Right. We have many, many projects in our community, not only that we need today, but we also need for infrastructure projects to ensure that our community remains competitive. And so those are the types of things that I keep top of mind. And again, I think there's a different way in which we can celebrate and show our pride for our community without potentially putting the most vulnerable at risk in our community.
So hurting local transportation, which of course is tied to our economic mm-hmm. success.
And public safety.
And public safety over the fact that he doesn't like these crosswalks, which is a celebration of everyone, I think, So that's just something we have to think about, about Governor Greg Abbott. All right, we're going to take a break here. Our phone number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. When we come back, we want to talk about what's happening with hunger in San Antonio, with the SNAP benefits not being recharged and other things. And you can ask a question, a comment for San Antonio Mayor Gina Ortiz-Jones. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be right back.
Support for TPR comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' compensation provider committed to helping Texas communities and emphasizing safety. More at texasmutual.com/texansgetit.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. With me in the studio, San Antonio Mayor Gina Ortiz-Jones, talking, getting her reaction to some of the developing stories in our area. If you have a question or a comment, call in 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. We've seen Meals on Wheels. We're going to be talking to Meals on Wheels in the second half hour. They lost federal funding. They had some rescue funds given to them by Bill Miller Barbecue and by HEB because they were having to make cuts in their deliveries to people. We've seen that SNAP benefits are not going to be recharged come November 1st. We are seeing people who are working for the government. The government, shut down our air traffic controllers, many people in the military, all sorts of folks not getting their paychecks. And they need that money. They need to buy their groceries now. What's your assessment of what's going on?
This is needless suffering. And I think that's the thing that gets me, is that all of this is completely avoidable. We're just about over a week away from the longest government shutdown in our country's history. And it's really unfortunate that, again, this is going to fall on the backs of our most vulnerable. I was just at the airport last week and got to say one thank you to our TSA workers that continue to show up and do work to keep us safe as we travel. It was disappointing to hear that, again, they are not getting paid. It sounds like CBP, based on the individual that I spoke to, it sounds like CBP is getting paid, but the TSA folks are not. And again, this is personal for me, having been a civil servant myself. I know the uncertainty, the economic uncertainty that comes along with this. Let me also just say, I think we can never underestimate, what this also means to the pipeline of talent into public service. I think, for many, working for government is noble work. It's apolitical work. And and it's traditionally been quite stable, right? And so, unfortunately, to have not only this government shutdown, but I think over the last 5 years, an unprecedented number of shutdowns, because this is used as a political tool, is unfortunate. And again, the suffering of so many needlessly. What is also unprecedented is, as you mentioned, the lack of recharging of the SNAP benefits. Yeah, traditionally, when there's been a shutdown, those benefits have continued because, again, people need to eat, right? And so the fact that would not take place currently shows just a real, hard to articulate disregard for families and families that are really hurting in our community already. So I'm thankful for those in the community that have stepped up, HEB in particular. I know the food bank obviously is doing quite a bit, and we're continuing to identify other things that we at the city can lead. Ideally, the best thing would obviously be the federal government is back up and running, because I think we all understand, though, this is largely hinging on the ACA credits, right? So we're looking at ways we can be helpful for those that are going to be facing food insecurity here shortly, because the other piece of this is the increase in healthcare premiums that people will see here shortly. I think on average, if I read correctly, it's 20% to 30% increase in premiums which folks will experience. So again, this is needless suffering. Continue to work with our federal delegation to impart the importance of us getting the help of our families, frankly, getting the help that they need and getting folks back to work.
We're going to have Eric Cooper, President and CEO of the Food Bank, on The Source tomorrow to give us more information and an update. But he's saying they're going to have to increase their donations to people 50% or more. They're having to clear out their warehouse. They're expecting a tremendous need if this situation isn't resolved soon. I mean, like in the next day or two. Mm-hmm. They need donations. They need volunteers to process the food, hand out the food. This is an all hands on deck situation in San Antonio. If you want to make sure that we don't have families that are, you know, going without.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. I mean, this is, you know, not unsurprisingly, the third most impoverished big city in the country, on top of us having a very large federal workforce, would be severely impacted not only by the federal shutdown, but as well as by the cut the freeze rather in SNAP benefits. So again, it's needless. We need to get we need to get the federal government back up and running here.
It's also an open question. We're trying to find this out now with our reporting about what's happening with the USDA and school districts and supplying the food and resources for, hot breakfast and lunch to kids in schools. That's also, you know, something that is, you know, we don't know. We're finding out, but it doesn't look, you know, it would be terrible if something like that were to come to a freeze as well.
100%. I mean, as a kid that grew up on reduced lunch for a time, I mean, again, this is the fact that we would be in any way, frankly, punishing the most vulnerable or playing political games with just basic hunger is it's shameful.
Do you think that that's the point? They're playing political games, trying to pressure Democrats into caving in and allowing a clean, vote on reopening the government and giving up on the health care vote because we have families that are now going without. They're using hungry families as a political football.
Look, I can't speak to people's intentions. My job as mayor is to figure out how do we navigate our way through this and help as many people as possible.
And we have the Raul Jimenez event coming up in November 27th. You're going to have a press conference tomorrow, mm-hmm. talking about, you know, volunteers, organizing, people getting out for the 46th annual Raul Jimenez. I mean, it's a celebration of our local community. This could be people's only Thanksgiving opportunity. This could be a really critical event for San Antonio.
Yeah, I mean, I was just reviewing the kind of the background materials on it, and they are anticipating a much larger need than usual. So I'm thankful for folks that will volunteer to make that happen, as well as for, frankly, you know, the ability for folks to get a good meal on that day, at the very least.
So the Alamo, Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick basically fired Kate Rogers, who was the president and CEO of the Alamo Trust, a well-respected individual who was managing the reimagining of the Alamo and trying to be inclusive. He demanded that she step down because he didn't like her dissertation because it was more inclusive. It was woke, according to some people. What's your reaction to, you know, what's happening at the Alamo, which is basically the crown jewel of San Antonio's whole image?
Well, look, I think it's unfortunate that somebody like Dr. Rogers, who has well served the Alamo Trust and then certainly by extension our state for many years, was treated in such a way. I think, you know, as I shared, I think we have to have the courage to tell the varied experiences of people at that very historic site. There wasn't just one experience, and frankly, one experience wasn't more important than any other. And I think we do ourselves and we do the next generation a disservice by not fully sharing the varied experiences that happened at that historic site. I would also argue, I think, again, because it is so important to our economy and such a tourist highlight, I would be fearful that if folks thought that the Alamo was in any way just kind of a propaganda site, that they may not go, right? So there may be some economic consequences to again, not being willing to tell the full story of everybody at the Alamo.
Yeah, I was at the Alamo recently. I was there just to hang out during the No Kings March to see if the National Guard was going to show up again, and they did not, which is weird because, you know, last June, Governor Abbott said we needed the National Guard to protect the Alamo, and now we don't, and it showed it that it was kind of like an arbitrary thing. And you hear so many different languages and see people from all over the world, and people are very curious, and you hear a lot of Spanish being spoken, people from Mexico coming up there. And they were very intrigued by all the displays, not just about the 13 days of glory, but about the entirety of the whole history of the region. And I really see the point that you made there, that if it becomes a propaganda site just about, you know, the Walt Disney, Davy Crockett version of history, that only will get you so far.
And exactly.
It's not based on reality, and certainly not the entirety of the interesting, robust history of the region.
Well, and I think always in general, right, like who is served by not appreciating history? Like who does that serve exactly? On a more lighthearted note, I think it's also important that we continue to get those tourists that want to see the basement.
Well, they got the bike now, so yeah, you know, so that's something, so thing right now downtown. Speaking of the Alamo downtown, we get all that construction still going on. Was this just a bad batch of construction, or is this just the way it's always going to be whenever we do construction nowadays?
Oh, God, no, of course not. We do not, no, we will not put up with this. This is not how it has to be. And that's why I think, you know, Mike Shannon leading the public works, the capital projects will be a good thing. We've got to make sure that we are, one, getting those done in a timely fashion so that they don't needlessly hurt the businesses down there and, frankly, don't needlessly hurt our local economy. So I think a focused effort on those major projects is an important step in the right step forward, because I think what they also do is, you know, it's always about public trust, right? And yeah, unfortunately, you saw the feedback of some of the downtown vendors about, you know, their concern for some of the downtown revitalization in light of, right, the previous experience with big capital projects. So I think, you know, your ability to get things done like that really then inform people's desire to place trust in you for larger projects. So I think, you know, Mike Shannon's the right person to lead that, and I expect him to get after it pretty quickly.
Yeah, we had a heck of a weekend downtown, you know, with Alamo Dome Concert, Paul McCartney, and Mortals Fest, Day of the Dead. The Day of the Dead Festival has turned into a marquee event for San Antonio. Started out as a small event, and now it's really grown quickly. It can be almost turned into like another fiesta, where it's going to bring people from all over the world, all over the country, to experience a unique event. So, I mean, this is something that San Antonio has. I think a few other cities would be able to claim something like this, and it's turning into a great event. So,
That point, actually, it made me think of, again, the unique role that San Antonio plays, in particular when it comes to Mexican American history and culture. Right, there are two Mexican American cultural corridors. There are three Mexican American cultural corridors in the state. Two of them are here in San Antonio. Just last week, I was honored to be at the ribbon cutting for the Museo del West Side, which Graciela Sanchez and the Esperanza Center really championed. That is such an important resource, not only for our city, but for so many people, frankly, that come to San Antonio for that. A great example of that, for example, is the Conjunto Festival. Right, which like 30,000 people come to that. Many folks are coming to that. They are traveling from out of the city and largely out of the state. And they come here because they don't have anything like that in their own community. So to your point, it's not only the Muertos Fest, it's things like Museo del West Side, the ways in which, you know, our local leaders have done a really good job of preserving Mexican-American culture. And certainly there's a call to continue doing so. But you're right. It's just not a nice to have. It is so critical to our economy.
But these were ground up events that grew into big attractions. They didn't come out of a meeting at the Chamber of Commerce. Hey, let's do a Murals Fest. No, it was you know, local people putting these things on, Conjunto Festival, Guadalupe Cultural Arts Center, and so it shows how the support for the arts in San Antonio does pay dividends, particularly when it's, you know, has good stewards too.
Yeah, 100%. I think what's important that as well is that we are making sure we're connecting the dots between those local efforts and things like Visit San Antonio, right? Visit San Antonio, focusing on how do we better support Conjunto Fest? I'll be honest with you, that also looks at for me, as an elected, as we also think about these major bond projects, right? Mm-hmm. If you've got 30,000 folks going to Rosedale Park, there's a lot of that we could do there that would better support that. So you could actually bring even more folks in. And so it's an even more economic generator for our community.
All right. Good talk. Mayor Gina Ortiz-Jones, great to have you in the studio this Monday. Fantastic. All right. I'll let you go. You got to go back and run the city. Appreciate your time. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks for listening.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies. Tim Gutierrez is the show's producer. Additional production support from Steve Short, Ruben Garcia, Yvette Benavides, and Dan Katz, Vice President of News. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.